pray, Lord, we do pray that you would receive all the glory and praise, not just this morning, not just in our singing, not just in the reading of your word, but in every single thing we do and every reason we do it. Lord, may we join the chorus of all creation, giving glory and praise to Jesus and Jesus alone. And I pray that you'd get all the glory and praise this morning. Help us, Lord, we need you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning we're talking about work. It's like, oh man, work. Right, today's the day of rest. We're supposed to be able to rest from our work. Ted was telling me a joke the other day. I can't remember what preacher it was, but he's like, now preacher, you got into meddling, you know? It's like, now you're meddling. I'm talking about work. But Proverbs says a lot about work. A lot of the contrast between the lazy and the worker, the hard worker. So we're going to look at this morning. Kids are welcome to go to kids' church, and we'll be in Proverbs this morning. What does God have to say about work? And a few weeks ago, I saw this article, and I don't know if you have my sense of humor, but I thought it was hilarious. It says this man studied procrastination for 40 years, and here's what he's learned. And isn't that kind of sound like somebody who would study procrastination? And actually, he was a hard worker, and he learned a lot. But just like with procrastination, it's like, yeah, I'll get around to it someday. Yeah, I'll get around to it someday. But what is procrastination? We're like, we're putting something off. And we procrastinate for a lot of reasons, right? There's different reasons we do it. But we're avoiding something, and usually it has to come down to, I just don't want to do something, right? We want to avoid something, so we put it off. A lot of times we're lazy. And so this morning, you know, in God's word, we see that work is good. God has created good work for us to do. And today, we're just going to look at the goodness of work and hopefully learn some lessons. And I think we all struggle sometimes with work and really not just what we do, but why we do it. And so we're going to look at the goodness of work, that God values and blesses hard work. First kind of thing that I've seen in Proverbs as I was studying was, you know, laziness can rob us. It uses the word rob. It can rob us of the good things God has for us. And I want you to be thinking about work today. And it's not just, you know, going to get a paycheck. You know, sometimes we think that's work. But really, you know, it's effort for a purpose. It's when I put forth some kind of effort, and we want it to be a good purpose, but there's reason behind it. You know, there's work in the garden even before they got a paycheck. God had good work for Adam and Eve. There'll be good work in the new heavens and the new earth. Work is something good. In fact, God modeled it for us, right? When he made the heavens and the earth in Genesis 2, it says, on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. You notice this repetition of work. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day, made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. We look out at creation like that. That's what can happen with good work. God created some amazing works. Jesus says that the Father's always working. And so God modeled the goodness of work, and he reminds us that he gives us rest from work. Exodus 20, 8 through 11, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor. He's like, guys, do this. This is good. Work is good. Do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your livestock, the sojourner within your gates, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens. He points back to God and his good work, the earth, the sea, all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the day, the Sabbath day, and made it holy. So that's really, you know, laziness, procrastination, a lot of it comes down to in our sinfulness, we treat work as sin. And what I want to see in the next two Proverbs is because of that, we miss out on the goodness of God's plan for work and what God has in store for us. So look at these two. We went through in Proverbs 6, we looked through this, but it's just such a good reminder. It says, go to the ant, O sluggard. That's one of the words it uses for the lazy, the sluggard. Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer, gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest? And here it is, poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Right? You know, it starts small, a little folding of the hands to rest. And soon deep sleep comes over us, and by the time we wake up, we've been robbed, right? You know, laziness, I think it's trying to get us to buy into the lie that laziness has something for us. Like we want, man, it's got something good for me, but when we wake up from it, actually we were stolen from the good that God has for us. So I want you to think, like, man, we buy into this lie that laziness has something good for me. No, laziness steals from you. It robs you of the good things that God has for you. Again, in Proverbs 24, 30 through 34, it says, I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. So notice he has a good thing, a vineyard, right? Something amazing. It says, behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. So again, you know, he gives us a little bit different picture, but this amazing thing is lost. It's overgrown. It's destroyed. We lose something when we fall victim to the lie of laziness. So I just want you to understand, laziness isn't providing you with something amazing. It's robbing us of the good things God has given us and has in store for us. Look at Proverbs 19:15. It says, slothfulness, another word for the laziness, it casts into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. You know, that's an interesting picture. It casts you into this deep sleep, and it's like that. Like, you just say, oh, I'll just lay down for a minute. Have you ever, like, laid down, and you woke up, and the day is gone? Like, you completely slept off the day. You wasted a whole day. And, like, when you wake up, there's this sense of regret, right? Man, I lost this whole day. And there's sometimes when, man, you need that. I feel like after yesterday, that hike, I need a day of rest. Like, I need to just lay down for a little bit. But sometimes we start with just a little sleep, a little slumber, and we're cast into this deep sleep, and we wake up with this deep sense of regret. Like, I'm never going to get that time back. And I want you to just start thinking, like, how has laziness robbed you? You know, time you're never going to get back. Relationships that you're never going to get back. Time that's wasted. You know, there's a famous poem and kind of this idea of, you know, we're all given a birthday and an end day unless Jesus comes back, right? And what about that in between? What about that dash? Like, what are you going to do with that dash, that the years that God's given you, the time God's given you? He has good things in store for you. And I don't want to wake up at the end of my life awakened from some deep sleep with this deep regret. What if? What if? And so, like, how has it already robbed from you? What has it already taken from you? And what can you change to not lose out, to not waste the day, not sleep the day away? There's another proverb that I didn't put in here, but the sluggard just rolls over and over and over in his bed. He never gets up, right? Like, how has laziness robbed you? God has good things for us. And sometimes we miss out on them because we buy into the lie of laziness. We're going to look at some of those lies, but something else we see in Proverbs is God rewards good, honest work. There's this contrast over and over in Proverbs. This is what laziness gives you. This is what hard work gives you. And over we see God rewards good, honest work. Proverbs 10:4 says, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Right? That slack hand is that limp hand. Each of those is the hand represents their work ethic. So this limp, slack work ethic, what does it get you? Like, this is just how God's wired the world. Like, God made it. He made it with this. If you are lazy, you're going to miss out. You're going to lose out. But if you work hard, God's going to honor that. Like diligence represents that hard work over time. It makes rich. You know, it's really an integrity issue, right? Slack hand. Have you ever heard the word slacker? Like you're a slacker. The slacker is the one who, when the boss turns away, you stop working. And you only put in enough to kind of float under the radar where no one notices, right? It's just the one that puts in just the bare minimum. It's really this integrity issue. And so I want you to see, like, God rewards honest hard work. It's kind of like, this is how God has made things, okay? Gravity, we don't fight it too often, right? We have some pilots here, you know, that fight it for a while, but there's a saying, everything that goes up must come down, right? And it's kind of a constant, right? Here on earth that we have a constant for it. It's just how things work. You can try fighting it, you can try ignoring it, but it's how things work. And God has wired this world so that hard work pays off and laziness misses out. It loses. It results in really losing out. Look at the next one. It says, Proverbs 12:24, the hand of the diligent will rule while the slothful will be put to forced labor. Again, we don't know exactly how God's going to use that, if you're going to get a promotion, if you're going to eventually work your way to the top. But what it's saying is, here's a principle. If you work hard, it's going to generally pay off. It's going to raise and give you things that God has. Yet if you are lazy, if you have that slack hand we talked about, if you're slothful, you're usually going to be back at the bottom, right? And there's exceptions to the rule, but over time you look at it, it's like, yeah, that's true. I've seen it in my life. You've probably seen it in your life. We fight it for a while. We try to get away with it for a while. But over time, that's just how things work. In fact, even in the New Testament, it says, Galatians 6:7, it says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. What one sows, that he will also reap. What one sows to his flesh will reap from the flesh corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will reap from the Spirit eternal life. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Again, it's not always on your paycheck. It's not always on your name tag. It's a lot of times intangibles, a lot of times eternal. But what you sow, you're going to reap. So let me just stop, and you don't have to say it out loud. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to tell anybody. But like, what have you been sowing? Like, if you were going to, like, reap this week what you've been sowing, what do you deserve? Like, do you have a strong work ethic, or are you like the slacker, the slothful, the sluggard? What you sow, you are going to reap. One of the things we reap, we talked about, you know, God has so many good things that he does through work. A lot of times it's our character. He grows us for it. A lot of times it is a paycheck. A lot of times it's eternal. A lot of times it's good work in other people that is done through us. A lot of times it is even growing us into the people that God wants us to be. Like, so many ways, but one of them is just, there's good satisfaction. Like, have you ever gone out and mowed the yard? Weed eated and got it just right. You've been watering it, you've been planting and doing all these things, and you finish your work and you're sweating, you're tired, you're hot. You're like, oh, and you look out. There's this good satisfaction, right? Look at these two Proverbs. It says 12:14, from the mouth, fruit of his mouth, a man is satisfied with good, and the work of a man's hand comes back to him. Like, there's good satisfaction, even just sitting back and being satisfied. Proverbs 18:20 says, from the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. There's good satisfaction at the end of a hard day's work. So let me just ask you, we're going to look at a few different proverbs that talk about and really address the lies we buy into, the lies of laziness. And so the first one I see, Proverbs 14:23, just talking about it is work enough. So that's the lie. It's not what the proverb says. It addresses that. Like, sometimes we're like, yeah, we're just talking about it, right? And maybe you're one person that's like a big talker. You're like, yeah, I'm going to get out tomorrow. I'm going to do this and this. I have all these plans. I've set everything aside. I'm going to get it, right? Talk is cheap, right? Look at Proverbs 14:23. It says, in all toil there's profit, but mere talk only leads to poverty. You know, sometimes we like, man, we're big talkers, and we think that, like, that's going to do something. At the end of the day, talk doesn't do anything. mere talk doesn't accomplish anything. The rubber has to hit the road. So let me just get you thinking, like, what ideas, and like, they're good ideas, they're righteous ideas, like, have been swirling around your mind. Like, you've been talking, you've been thinking, but it's just stayed there. Like, what have you been missing out? Like, you've got these awesome ideas, but mere talk is cheap, right? Mere talk only leads to poverty. How can you, like, take these awesome ideas that you had and put them into practice? It says, in all toil, there's profit. So don't buy the lie that just talking about it is work enough. Another lie I see in 1626 is, I can get something for nothing, right? We always want something for nothing. Like, we want this awesome thing, but we don't want to work for it. Proverbs 16:26 addresses it. It says, a worker's appetite works for him. His mouth urges him on. What it's saying there is, like, it's actually a good thing that we get really hungry, because it makes us want to work and feed that appetite. It's something that actually drives us on, and that drive is actually a good thing. And so he says, don't take away that drive. Like, let that be something that motivates you to work. You know, Paul addressed that in the New Testament. There was a church with members that were shirking work. They were able bodies, but they just didn't want to work. And this part of a longer passage, but in 3:10 of 2 Thessalonians, he says, even when we were with you, we would give you this command, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. He's like, that's not how it should be. If you're able, like, work is a good thing, so let your appetite motivate you, drive you to work. Back in Proverbs, it says in 13:4, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. So maybe, like, what are the cravings that you've had? And hopefully they're good cravings. So don't feed the bad cravings. But maybe, like, you've had these good cravings and you expect them to just happen, right? I can get something for nothing. Like, I should be delivered it on a silver platter. Like, what are those cravings and what are you going to do about them? Like, what would it look like to actually honor the Lord and work for those good things? So how can you feed those cravings? Are you willing to work for those good things that God has? Another lie, the lazy way is the easy way. Proverbs 15:19 says, the way of the sluggard is like a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a level highway. And I love that, because, like, the lazy way, we're always like, I want the easy way. But over time, what does the lazy way turn out to be? The hard way, right? Like, we want just, like, man, I just want the easy way. I don't want to do anything. But over time, it actually is the opposite. And my dad always told me this, like, goes through my head. The easy way ends up being the hard way, and the hard way ends up being the easy way. Over time, right? And if you've ever had a kitchen full of dishes, a sink overfilled with dishes, you know that principle, right? Like, if you do the dishes at the end of every day, it's not so bad. But if you wait a whole week, it actually ends up being more time than if you put all that time together, because you can't even do the dishes, right? The sink's full. You have to, like, lift out all the dishes and then get something else dirty. Like, that's the principle. Over time, the easy way becomes the hard way. The hard way becomes the easy way. Yeah, another saying, you know, he said, let's see if I can get it right. I just lost it. Oh yeah, there's two philosophies. One says, why put off today what you can do tomorrow? The other is, why put off till tomorrow what you can do today? You know, just that idea is, we just want to put it off and we think it'll be easier. We're actually making life harder for us. And so, like, what are the hard things that you've been dealing with and just like, man, I hate this? And has that been part of it? Has it actually been harder on you because you've been avoiding work? What are some ways that you can make things easier by just putting in that effort, that diligence, a little bit every day instead of a ton once a week or once a month or once a year? Taxes are another one, right? Just set those documents aside, but then if you just wait till tax season, oh my goodness, it's a nightmare. The lazy way is not the easy way. Another one, it's better to do just enough to get by. Look at what Proverbs 12:27 says. This is crazy. Whoever is slothful will not roast his game, but the diligent man will get precious wealth. Isn't that crazy? Like, you like, okay, I'm gonna go out and hunt, I'm gonna get this, I'm gonna bring it back, but man, I just wanna do the bare minimum. And like, you could have this amazing meal in front of you, but you're so lazy, it's like, I don't even wanna have to cook it, I'll just eat it raw. You know, like you're gonna get yourself sick, you're probably gonna bring up horrible things on you, and you're gonna miss out on, like, you've done 3/4 of the work, you went out, killed it, you brought it home, just roast your game, right? Like, just, it's right there. Just put in the rest of the work, and you're going to reap a good harvest. So what are the things, like, you've been in 3/4 of the work, but you've been missing out? You've been hunting, you've been killing, you've been bringing it home, but you're too lazy to roast it. Like, you're missing out, right? God has good things, and we're actually missing out on them. There's nothing better than a good roasted game, right? It tastes so good. Just finish the product. Another one, play now, worry later, right? Like, I don't want to have to work. I just want to go have fun. Look at what Proverbs 24 says. The sluggard does not plow in the autumn. He will seek at harvest and have nothing. Right? And that's just an obvious thing. Like, if you don't plow in season, you're not going to reap in season. So what have you been putting off and just avoiding and think, like, I just want to play. I just want to have fun. Something I found over time, I had that philosophy growing up. I just want to play basketball. I don't want to go mow the yard. I just want to play with my friends. I want to go to the mall. I want to play video games. I want to do all these things. I don't want to work. But what I found is, like, even when I was playing basketball and I had this lawn, like, it was, like, just staring at me, I couldn't enjoy it. Right? You don't really actually get to enjoy it because those things are still on your shoulders. They're still waiting for you. They're not going to go away. And so when you do it first, you can actually enjoy playing basketball. You can actually enjoy hanging out with your friends because it's not looming. It's not lingering. It's not hanging over. So work first, play later. The sluggard does not plow in autumn, and he will not seek at harvest. And he will seek at harvest and have nothing. Another one, there's always an excuse not to work, right? Have you ever that person, or maybe you're that person, where you're like, hey, I need you to do this. No, I can't do it. I have this, this, and this to do. Okay, will you do it later? Sure, sure, sure. Later comes, hey, I need you to do this. No, I can't do this. I have this, this. Like, do you have an excuse for everything? Like, sometimes we have an excuse and a million excuses not to work. I thought it was really interesting that there's Proverbs that actually address that. Proverbs 22:13, a sluggard says, there's a lion outside, I shall be killed in the streets. Again, actually that proverb comes back in 26:13 as well. Like, yeah, a lion might be outside in the streets, but is it probably outside the streets? And so this sluggard is using that, I can't go out to work today, there might be a lion in the streets. Sorry, I can't help you with that. There might be a lion. And so what he's doing is he has an excuse for everything. And do you find that true of you? If you're really honest, are you always avoiding, always coming up with excuses, and you actually think they're good, but at the end of the day, are they really that good? Because what are the chances of a lion? I didn't look it up. Does anybody know the percentage of chances of lion killing me as I get out of bed this morning? Probably pretty low. Yeah, no, you just see what I'm saying. It's huge. It's huge. Probably not going to happen. And look at this, 26:16. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than 7 men who can answer sensibly. Like, he thinks his answers are so good, but at the end of the day, he's lying to himself. They're really not that good. They're really not that great. He's missing out because he has all these excuses. He's so wise, but he's really not. I want to give you, we're going to just like go boom, 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 7 different kind of principles, but hopefully application. Keep us from buying into these lies, into owning and honoring God in our work. And so first challenge I have for you is to use your work as a testimony. Okay, whether you're working out in the office or you're working at home, or whether you're working outside, working inside, whether you're working on getting a paycheck or you're working on your homework, working on a hobby, like, what effort are you putting in? It's a testimony, okay? When people look at you, they often look at your work. What kind of work do you do? And look at these two contrasts, okay? Proverbs 10:26 says, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. Okay? So they say, hey, I have a job to you. I need you to go do this. And when they see his work ethic, his work is like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes. Okay, some people love vinegar, but like straight vinegar is so off-putting. You know, it's corrosive to our teeth, but I think more what it's saying there is it's just off-putting. It makes you just want to spit it out, right? Straight vinegar, ugh, causes this visible reaction. And if you've ever been camping, I love fires, but I hate the smoke in your eyes, right? It makes you want to move. It makes you want to get away. It just is repulsive. So what it's saying is like that person who's a sluggard, what do their boss think about them? What does the person who sends them? Man, it just repulses them. It disgusts them. They just want to get rid of them. They'd do anything to fire them if they could. Is that what we want our work to show for our God who we're serving? Is that the testimony we want to leave? Like in all our work, I never want anybody to be like smoke to the eyes. I don't want it to be smoke to the eyes or vinegar to the teeth. Look at this one, Proverbs 25:13. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the soul of his masters. It's like snow on a hot, sunny, sweaty day. It's just like, oh, right? It just feels so good. It refreshes. Like that's what I want to be. When my boss thinks about what I do and how I do it, when he sends me for a task and I come back, I want to be like that cold, refreshing snow on a warm, hot summer day. I want to be a refreshment. Again, Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do, so this be our challenge, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So let your work be done in the name of Jesus. May they come away thinking more of him, that praise of him would be in your work. Second challenge, always remember that God is your real boss. So it kind of goes along with that. It says later in that passage, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. You know, sometimes we like have this boss and you're like, man, they don't deserve it. Like they want me to work hard, but they're lazy. They want me to work hard, but they are harsh. They want me to work hard, but they treat me unfairly. They're unethical. Like they don't deserve it, and you're right, they don't. But at the end of the day, that's not your boss. And it's so hard, but it's true. Like work like you are working for Jesus. Don't worry about them. God's going to take care of them, but God sees what you're doing. He knows, and he's going to honor you when you remember that he's your boss. In 1 Peter 2:18 and 19, it says, servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and the gentle, but to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing when mindful of God, one endures sorrow while suffering unjustly. It's like, man, they don't do their jobs. Do your job anyways. They're lazy. Work hard anyways. They're harsh. Treat them with kindness. They're unfair. Be completely fair. They're unethical. Show them good godly ethic and always point to Jesus because he's your boss. Ephesians 6:5-8 reminds us, bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or free. Like God's going to honor that. That principle we looked at the beginning, God honors good, hard work. And it's going to come back somehow, some way. So serve the Lord, worship the Lord, and just let your work be a testimony to the Lord. Don't give your life to worthless pursuits. You know, sometimes we're like hard workers, but we're working hard at things that don't matter. You know, there's a lot of people that work for things that don't really matter. So work hard at things that matter. There's a couple Proverbs. Proverbs 12:11 says, "Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense." Like, there's people that pursue. Yeah, they follow. They work hard, but they're worthless pursuits. Like, don't work hard at things that don't matter in the end. Give your life to what really matters. Work hard at what really matters. Proverbs 28:19 says, "Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread." Again, it's very similar, but look at this. It says, "He who follows worthless pursuits will have plenty of poverty." Right? Your work's going to pay off, but what is it going to pay off? It's going to pay off with loss. And sometimes that loss is monetary, but again, like we talked about at the beginning, sometimes it's following and working hard, making a lot of money, and giving yourself to something that is worthless, and at the end of your life, you look like back at it, and it's like, I am so poor because I worked hard and I made a lot, but that money is not worth anything because I forgot that Jesus said to store up treasures in heaven, not on earth, right? Work for things that matters. He wants us to invest in things that matter for eternity. So don't give your life to worthless pursuits. You know, Solomon looks back and he's like, man, that was my life. He was like so rich, so wise, so well known, so prosperous. He had all these things named after him. He had all these things he made. And he looks at all the things that he does and he says in Ecclesiastes 2:11, he says, "I considered all that my hands had done, all the toil that I expended in doing it. Behold, it was all vanity and a striving after the wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun." So don't work for life under the sun. Work for life under the S-O-N. Work for the sun. Work for his kingdom, not for what you can get here and now. In Luke 12, Jesus was met by this guy who's just, he's like, "Jesus, settle this dispute. Me and my brother, like, I want my inheritance," and he's not treating me fair with it. Like, he was just this guy who was fighting over his inheritance with his brother, just consumed with wealth, thinking like that's where life is. And Jesus responds to him, says, "Take care, be on guard against all covetousness." And this is so powerful. And remember this, one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. At the end of your life, it doesn't matter how much you have, how much money you made. What matters in the end? There's not too many people that at the end of their life, they look back and they're like, you know what? I wish I would have worked that overtime. You know what, man? I wish I ignored my family a little bit more. You know, I had 2 boats, but man, if I just had 3 boats. Like, don't waste your life working hard for things that don't matter. Another reminder, work hard building his kingdom, not yours. Work hard at building his kingdom, not yours. Proverbs 127, 1 and 2 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early, go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep." And maybe you've been laboring hard. Don't labor in vain. Maybe you've been watching over things. Don't watch in vain. Don't rise up early, go to bed late in vain for things that don't matter. Make sure the house that you're building is God's house, the one that he wants you to build. Work for his kingdom, not your own. Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established." Like, whatever you're doing, like, say, like, God, this is for you. I'm committing it to you. I rely on you. I trust in you. I'm going to work for you, and I'm going to give it to you. It's all for you. Work hard building his kingdom, not your own. Work hard at the good works God's prepared for you. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, we are his workmanship. And so that's cool, using the word work, right? Look at what God did. He made us. He made us intimately known and created in our mother's womb. He loves us so much, but he created us for, it says, Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. God has good things for you to do. Walk in those. How has he gifted you? How has he made you skillful? Like, do those things. Do them for him. This one was really cool. Proverbs 22:29, it says, "Do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men." Again, maybe you're not going to stand before a king. What it's saying there is like, man, when someone is really skillful at something, people are going to notice, right? It's going to pay dividends. Like, it's going to be something that glorifies God. And maybe you're not skillful enough to go stand before kings, but God's gifted you in some way, right? He has good things for you to do. Like, look back and think, like, how has God gifted me, and how can I use that for his glory? Like, do it skillfully for his glory. Later in Proverbs 20:13, it says, "Love not sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes, and you'll have plenty of bread." And that phrase there, "open your eyes," just struck me, because so many times I was like, oh, I'm not that gifted. I don't have that much gifting that God's given me. Or, man, I don't know what God wants me to do. He's like, open your eyes. And sometimes we just need to open, like, what does God have for you? What's the good work that he has for you today? Just walk in it. Do it. And do it for his glory. Just open your eyes, and you'll have plenty of bread. All right, two more. Take care of the good things God has given you. Sometimes, like, God's given us awesome things, but we need to work hard to take care of them. Later in Ecclesiastes, Solomon says this. He says, "Through sloth, the roof sinks in. Through indolence, the house leaks," right? And we can relate to that. Like, man, you've been given this awesome house from God. You actually have to work to take care of it, right? And so God, what are the good things God's given you, and how can you work hard just as a good steward of that? Because at the end of the day, like, it's not your house, right? We think, oh, this is my house. My name's on the deed. My name's on the title. Like, it's really God's. He's letting you use it. He's letting you be a steward of it. But Psalm 89:11 reminds us, talking about God, it says, "The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world and all that is in it. You have founded them." Your house is God's. So work hard at the good things God has given you. Your children are God's. Your car is God's. Like, what are those good things? And maybe there's possessions, or maybe there's just, like, giftings. Like, those things that God's given you, like, take care of them. Work hard at taking care of them. That Proverbs 31 woman, what did she do? It says that she looks well to the way of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Like, she takes care of her house. And surely that's talking about the house, but it's also talking about her family, the work she has. Like, she looks well to her ways. Do you look well to your ways? What are the things God has given you? Do you look well to them? One final one. And I think this is so important. Like, we've been looking at this principle, like, God wants us to work. But sometimes we can be workaholics, right? We can live for work. We can find our identity in work. We can think work is going to give us all these things, and we can really worship it. And so the last one is just keep work in its right place. Right? Even at that very beginning when we looked at God's principle, it didn't take God 7 days to make the earth, right? Or 6 days and a day of rest. Like, he could have done it in an instant. He wanted to show us something, right? Just like the good order and how to work a process. And he made it in 6 days, and it turned out awesome. But then he gave us rest. Like, he wasn't tired at the end of it. Like, he could have made a whole new heavens and earth in an instant. He wanted to show us, like, there's a principle, do it well, but then you can rest. So maybe you've been working, but sometimes we feel guilty, like, man, I don't think I should rest. Like, that's sinful. Just like some people treat work as sinful, some people treat rest as sinful. Like, it's a command to rest. It's part of the Ten Commandments. And to dedicate that to the Lord, remember who gave you what you have and that he will provide, and he's given you gift of rest. So find that balance. And don't work, and never rest. But then don't find your identity in your work, right? We can do that. And I love what that Ephesians 2:10 says. Like, he's given us good work, but it reminds us who we are isn't our work. Who we are is we are his workmanship. We find our identity in living out as image bearers of Christ. So find your identity, who you are in Christ, and that from that live out your work. So don't work too much, don't work too little. Don't be a workaholic, don't be lazy. Don't equate your worth with your work. And so maybe work's become too important to you. Maybe you've missed out on other good works by focusing simply on your work. So work hard, but rest well. Don't miss out on the most important things by making your work too important. Again, we have a dash. You have a beginning date and an end date. What are you going to do? What are the good works that God has for you? How can you work hard for His glory, enjoy the benefits of hard work, the satisfaction, and really store up for yourself treasures in heaven? Let's pray. Lord, just thanks for those good reminders. Lord, I pray that those reminders would come back to us. Just those pictures, the one who wouldn't roast his game, the smoke to the eyes, that we wouldn't want to be that. Just please bring those back through your Holy Spirit when we need them, and help us to work hard, and would you show us the benefit? Would you just show us the reward of good, honest, hard work? And God, would you receive all the glory and praise, that we wouldn't work hard for our kingdom, but work hard for your kingdom, that you would be the one on people's minds when we work hard. God, we thank you for the gift of work. And God, I pray that you'd help us to be good, hard workers who live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.